Geraldi and Tausch begins now. And while I want to get to my story about the Packers' commitment to protecting Jordan Love and their soon-to-be $50 million a year investment.
We sure it's going to be 50?
Well, Adam Schefter.
Shefty.
Messaged with some people, texted with some people, talked to some people. I'm not sure what he did. But he appeared on Jen, Gabe, and Chewy yesterday and said that he believes that the number will start with a 5 on the APY for Jordan Love. But we'll see.
If you do that, that's why you keep churning at bottom. And that's why you're very selective with paying that third contract to people, because old J. Love, I would be shocked if it's not.
He also said it's going to be a while. What date is it opened?
It's going to take a while.
Yeah. And I've been telling you that for a while.
Tomorrow's the day that the window would open.
It is not happening tomorrow. He said it's going to be a while, which, again, Adam is awesome. I love that he joins Jen, Gabe, and Chewy. No, there's not a butt coming.
I don't know.
Goody told us it was going to take a while. Like, he flat out said it. And why there were some folks that thought, well, May 3rd is going to be here and bing, he's going to get this big contract. No. Now, that doesn't mean that he's not going to get it. And I agree with your point that you were about to make, which is I would get it done before training camp. Like the Kenny Clark deal. Like Kenny Clark, like, signed his contract and then went out for the first practice of training camp a couple years ago. Like, I could see that happening. But it's not happening tomorrow. And, of course, now that I've said that, it's going to happen tomorrow.
Do you envision any case where Jordan Love, who we all think is going to be a superstar, but he's only, again, for the critics, he's only played one
season.
I don't think that makes you a critic.
I think that makes you a realist.
I'm telling you how Packer fans are going to view it. It's critical, which is fair, but it is a fair and objective way of looking at it. But what I saw the last 10 weeks and in the playoffs was pretty dang special.
Agreed.
And if you listen to everybody talk, including the receiver that wanted to be traded because he didn't, he's special. Max Crosby, dude's a dog. You'd love hearing all that. But I just don't know if Jordan Love and his team, let's say they don't get close to where they need to be, and it gets to be July 26th, which might be the reporting date, in that ballpark.
Mm-hmm.
He will definitely be in camp, but is there? I just don't envision anywhere where Jordan goes up and says, I'm not practicing. Now, playing
holding
games.
Out.
No, not holding in. He won't be
holding
out.
Holding in, yes, holding in. My arm hurts.
I just don't envision that being any part of it. So, but I do wonder if his representatives are going to say, well, that's great. You can go do your stuff because you're going to be wearing a red jersey and all that. But if it gets to be 2 days before Brazil and Murphy's looking at if we got that the airplanes right and the runways right and everything else, is Jordan Love going to say, I'm going to go play in that game for whatever his base salary is, $12 million this year? I would say that his team's going to say, no, you're not. And then it comes to that's where I think everybody is hoping to avoid. But as Adam and I think everybody, this is going to be a complicated contract because it's going to be a monster when it gets done.
And while they love Jordan Love very, very, very much, it is their responsibility as an organization to protect themselves if for some reason he falls off the table, which neither of us believe is going to occur. But they have to be prepared for that, too. So they want to make sure that they structure it in a way that if things go south, they've got options. Now, do they think they're going to go? Of course not. Of course not. But they have to make sure that they are pinching pennies where it's appropriate. Right? I'm not saying that they should lowball him, which the Packers also have a history of doing with certain players. I don't think they're going to do that. But I do think that they are going to be cautious in how they structure it. Because even Goody, who drafted him, who loves him, who put his reputation on the line for him, did acknowledge that it's a lot of money to give to someone who has had a limited sample size of greatness. He pointed out that he's been in our building for 4 years, so we know what he's about, so we're comfortable with that. No one thinks he's going to go Cletus Hunt here and get paid and then get lazy and just sit back and count his money. No one thinks that about him. But again, it's not going to happen tomorrow. It's just It's just not. Now,
I hope that contract extension.
That'd be great. Wouldn't that be something?
Tomorrow afternoon. That'd be fun.
I want to talk a little more about protecting that soon-to-be investment coming up, but you sent this to me. This was from your buddy Mike Florio, right? You guys are tight still.
Yeah, I was debating if I had to cite him because I don't think he cites everybody else when he does stuff. So I wasn't sure I was going to cite him. But
I'm a citer.
Journalistic integrity.
That's you. Well, you're an analyst. But he floated the idea that the NFL, which used to, once upon a time, open the season on Labor Day weekend and then decided not to anymore. I mean, that was back before you were in the NFL. I remember they were still doing it. Like, I think there was a preseason game in 1997 when Edgar Bennett ruptured his Achilles, and the preseason game was played on July 31st. Think about that. I mean, that you thought it was weird when, like, the Lombardi era Packers were playing six preseason games. It wasn't that long ago that they were playing a preseason game on the last day of July. But the idea of reclaiming Labor Day and having the NFL season start on Labor Day weekend, you know, basically a Thursday through Monday cornucopia of football. Are you on board with this, or did you just find it interesting, or do you hate the idea and that's why you shared it?
No, I love it. And I think one of the things, you know, Florio obviously hates the Packers. That's been abundantly clear, and especially the old quarterback, because for whatever reason. But it used to be, and one of the things when we would sit in these NFLPA meetings, the NFL was pretty adamant, people aren't tuning in until after Labor Day. Kids are on vacation. Last summer, or last weekend of summer before everybody dumps their kids back to school. You don't want to be a part of that. Well, that myth has been, that's done. That was the old days where you
debunked.
Had to be in front of a TV and watch it. Now with all the streaming and Peacock and all the BS that goes on, you now could get, and this is where I think it's interesting, the Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night, Monday night, you're getting five or six primetime games. You doubleheader all those, and then you put the rest of it on Sunday. And if you don't think people are going to tune in droves, you're crazy. It's going to be at night. So it makes all the sense in the world. College football has done it. They've done week zero. They've done other stuff. And it's been great. People are excited. It's the reincarnation of football. And while you're still looking at your ending up your summer vacations and everything else, most high school football now starts in middle of August. Most schools start before Labor Day. So the whole idea of Labor Day, while it's a great day, it's not the old indicator that it used to be. It doesn't set the summer off. It sets it so it's a new era, and you can get bonko dollars for these standalone games. And if you're going to get to 18, which they're going to shove down our throats,
correct.
Everybody knows
that's
it.
That's the biggest
you
thing.
You want to start it in September. So I actually think Florio's idea is genius.
Ooh,
and I think the NFL should implement it. No, I give credit where credit is due. I just wish I would have come up with it first.
That's what
because
I mean.
Because once he said it, I was like, dang, really smart. Go ahead and do it. And then I think what will happen, college football will then kickstart it back 1 week even earlier to get their week a shine. And that's how this thing is going to shake out.
So the most important point that I thought you made, though, as part of all of this, is the way the game is consumed now. Right? Like, you don't have to plop yourself down in front of your console television that looks like a piece of furniture with a bunch of wood around it back when I was growing up. Like, you are able to watch it on the go, right? If you're traveling, you got NFL Plus, you got whatever, you're streaming it. You got all kinds of options now. You got Peacock for playoff games. Like, that's got to be one of the primary reasons. Like, you can be on vacation and still see your favorite team, and you block off 3 hours on Sunday before you travel back home on Monday to watch your favorite team. I agree that this is smart. More importantly, I don't see any reason the NFL doesn't do this, because there was a time when they would say, well, we don't want to play Friday games because we respect Friday night lights and high school football. Well, that went bye-bye. Now they even play preseason games on Fridays at times during high school football season. Now we've got an opener on September 6th, which is a Friday, in Brazil. So I don't think there are any more sacred cows for their scheduling. They're going after the NBA on Christmas. Christmas used to be the NBA's day, right? Like, some would argue that that was when their season really kind of started. People started paying attention. Now the NFL, on a Wednesday on Christmas, has two games.
Yeah.
So there is nothing that is stopping the NFL. Again, the Mark Cuban quote, I don't think, I don't know what they would have to do to get the pigs slaughtered, but apparently there's no end in sight.
No, there's not. And the Labor Day component to this, it will happen, and it will probably happen sooner than we all think, because there's some other little thing in this antitrust TV broadcasting deal where they can't do Friday nights or they can't do certain dates, but that's prior to Labor Day. So they're going to be able to shove a lot of games down our throat over. And if they wanted to, they could make it an NFL week. They could start it on Monday and just play a night game every night of the week and make it football week in America and have a whole deal. That could be another thing that they could add to it, so they could play every day of the week. That might be getting where they're pushing the envelope.
I'm curious, though, as a former NFLPA rep, we bring up 18 games. You and I both agree that that is an eventuality. That is not a if, that is a when. Can they get it in before they have a new CBA?
It'll be tougher, but I don't doubt anything when it comes to the NFL and its chase for getting to their numbers that they want to hit and the growth that they're looking at doing. So, yeah, players will, if there's enough of a crumb for them to go grab, I think everything is always on the table. But I would think it's going to be, as Goodell said last week, it's going to be a little bit, but it's coming. And whether or not we like it or not, that's not really important.
We'll talk a little bit more about this. Plus, I want to get to Jordan Love and what the Packers and Goody talked about in terms of the importance of protecting him, which was a no-blank-blank statement. But still, I thought it was really interesting. We'll get to that coming up. Speaking of interesting, I was out in the driveway yesterday. I know that I'm not eligible to have Tausch come to my house for his project, but I got some cracks in the driveway that could use either patching or replacement. And if I did, I would call Johnson & Sons Paving.
Oh, well, that'd be fun. If we go up to Wildy's house and fix up his driveway, get those potholes that's probably in his road, get into his... If we could do that, it could be Old T coming up to Wildy's house or your house with Johnson & Sons Paving. They have invited me out to one of their job sites this summer. And it could be with your business. And it's simple to do. Just book an appointment before May 31st, and you can see me out there with the crew. Johnson & Sons Paving. They have over two decades of experience and is ready for the challenge that winter leaves behind. We all know there's potholes everywhere. You got snowplows hitting it, ba-bam, ba-bam, ba-bam. All of the bad aesthetics, damage to the cars, all that stuff that potholes have. Well, those impacted asphalt areas are going to get patched up or completely replaced with Johnson & Sons and Old T. Visit JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com. That's JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com today. And I got all my gear. I got the old little roller deal here that I'm going to be up there. This is what I really want to do. I want to get on this little tractor. Not this one, a big one.
You would crush
Drive over, fix that pavement. Yeah, I probably would. But I got all my gear from Johnson's. I got my little bag. I got my hydration system. They've got me all ready to roll. So just get to JohnsonAndSonsPaving.com, and I'll be ready to get out and get your stuff fixed.
At the risk of putting you in a bad spot like I did with Jesse earlier in the show, all the little trinkets and gifts that they've sent you, that's a pretty big investment by them. How confident are we that your expertise that you have proclaimed from your history as a concrete mixer... Are they going to be pleased with having you on their team? You think they're going to get a lot of good work from you?
I don't know. Yeah. I can only say what I'm going to be doing, and I know
drinking lemonade
that I'm going to do a great job. And it's going to be short and sweet.
That was my point. More next. It's Wildy and Tausch. And then I try to make my way. Jesse, I'm sorry for putting you in a bad spot earlier today. I do want to thank you for at least looking at the tweet that had my story. Did you actually read it?
I read until the pop-up showed up where it said subscribe for whatever amount of dollars. So I read the first couple sentences.
Okay.
That's usually where you're supposed to put your best stuff anyway, so.
I'm not sure I succeeded in that. So, Tausch, from the files of the no blank blank, when you have a great quarterback or a guy you think is going to be great, you got to make sure you protect him. And so while the Jordan Morgan selection was not the sexiest draft pick of the draft, and I saw you sent something that there are there's a feeling among NFL scouts that the guy that Packers fans were expecting, the guy that Packers fans became enamored with, and the guy that would have been sexier with his pick sixes, etc., Cooper DeJean, might be the steal of the draft in the second round. We'll see if he actually delivers on that. But they went not once, not twice, but three times to the offensive line well. And I thought this was interesting. Tell me if you find it interesting. In his first two drafts as GM, do you know how many offensive linemen combined Goody took?
Three.
Two.
Okay.
Cole Madison, who never actually played, and Elton Jenkins, who's damn good.
Yeah, pretty good.
But since then, in the five drafts since, four of the five drafts, three offensive linemen apiece. Now, not all of them have been star-spangled awesome like Zach Tom, but that is a heavy investment. What does that tell you as someone who, you know, they once joked, we're going to protect a $100 million quarterback with a seventh-round pick? Yeah, you did, and it worked out great. What does that tell you about where they're at on the offensive line and the importance of protecting their soon-to-be $50 million a year investment?
Well, I think they saw what I saw and what everybody else saw last year was, you know, Jordan Love's growth had a lot to do with him. I don't want to take anything away from Jordan because he was awesome. He was the best quarterback in the league the last 8 to 10 weeks of the year. But when it changed was when the O-line got healthy, when Elton Jenkins got back healthy, and when they stabilized that left tackle spot. But the group up front for the first 6 to 8 weeks was not very good. I mean, we had Bulaga joining us, and it was sloppy this and the technique. And I just look back at that Detroit game up at Lambeau, and Detroit's D-line is okay. It's not like San Fran's or anybody else's. They ate our lunch. Like, Jordan Love couldn't get his foot in the ground. He was getting drilled. Mm-hmm. I don't care how good a quarterback you are. So I think you all understand running the football, having that play-action pass available, but giving your guy enough time to see and progress is going to be vital. And they did that. And when you lose two or three guys, Runyon and Yash and some, you know, backup guys, you better replace them. And you better have young offensive line talent always available to you, because even the great Patrick Mahomes, who is awesome, three championships the last 4 years, the year he didn't win it, his O-line got beaten into the dirt and Tampa ran him out of the gym. When the Green Bay Packers had their number one seeds, Tampa came in here, and the reason they won that game is we couldn't protect Aaron Rodgers. All the other stuff, Kevin King, everything else, that's why it's important for these guys to make these draft picks.
So we always have expectations of the first-round pick, right? And Brian Bulaga has spoken to that, even though he couldn't unseat a crusty old veteran right tackle upon his arrival in 2010. But the farther down the draft order, I know you obviously had your success, but during your playing career, were there other guys who came in that you thought, okay, this guy's not a first-round pick? Scotty Wells maybe as a seventh-round pick? Will Whitaker started a bunch of games as a rookie but then didn't get a whole lot of opportunity thereafter. Do you remember, because you know that I am a Jacob Monk guy. I just like everything I've heard about him. Is that realistic to expect someone more than just Jordan Morgan to be making a difference in the protection racket in front of Jordan Love this year?
Yeah, I don't think that's crazy. I don't think that's what the plan is. But plans are made to be changed and adjusted to. So the interesting part of this is going to be is how well Rashid Walker takes on his role as the starting left tackle. Can he hold on to it? Can he show that he's the guy? And then the Josh Myers component to this, how he's vibing, what his mindset's going to be, and if Green Bay feels like you know, he's going to be their guy for the year, and how he handles that with the fact that he knows that they're trying to replace him with Monk or with Elton or with Zach Tom or whoever it's going to be. That's going to be the interesting part of this. But these young guys, they don't want to play these guys right away. I think they would love for to let these guys develop. And then, you know, I would think at some point, if let's say there's an injury, Jordan Morgan can then become that guy, whether it's left guard, left tackle, wherever it would be. And that's the process that you go through because you know something's going to come up. You don't want to say, well, 2 weeks into training camp, Jacob Monk's a lot better than Josh Myers. Let's put him in there. They don't want to do that. They want to have him push, and then maybe you do like a Evan Dietrich Smith, Jeff Saturday. That would be more along the lines of what I'd see, but not right away. I think they like and feel good about the five guys they have, and if somebody surprises them and says, well, this kid's just playing too good, we got to find a spot, a la Sean Ryan, you go ahead and do it. Because had Sean Ryan not made some jumps last year, and the big thing is when he got in games, if he didn't go out there and play well, and then, oh, he got four reps. Oh, he did well. Let's give him some more.
Yep.
Those opportunities are earned. They're not handed to us, and that's why these first round, you know, these draft picks, they're going to have to go and earn what they get.
All right, last thing before we get to our prize picks for the weekend presented by Prize Picks. I think there's two guards that both became Pro Bowlers during your time that you played with that are the two examples of either let a rookie sit and learn because he's not ready, and that would be TJ Lang, who developed into a damn good guard, and then Josh Sitton, who in 08, tell me if I'm wrong, I know he hurt his knee in Denver, maybe it was, in a preseason game, but was it pretty clear pretty much right away that this kid could play a little bit and that you guys could tell that as veterans around him? Because he ends up obviously getting his opportunity during that season, and he turns out to be a darn good player.
Yeah, no, you could tell right away guys that are going to be, this guy's ready to play. And I thought for TJ it wasn't as clear. I think TJ was one of those guys that it was going to take a little time.
Yep.
But with Josh Sitton, they threw him out there and they knew – you know, he's pretty good. And when you play with him, you're like, yeah, he's a really good player. Whether you want to give him a little time to kind of get settled in, or if you just think, hey, this kid can play, we have a spot, let's get him in there, it was abundantly clear he's a really good player and he needed to be out there and play.
Speaking of Josh Sitton, when he's not modeling big and tall for Coles, I'm guessing he's having an occasional Coors Light with you, at least in some exotic locations and maybe sometimes in Green Bay when he comes back to town.
Oh, we love Coors Light. Brewed to the three-step cold process, cold lager, cold filtered, and it is cold packaged, so it's made to chill. And it's born in the Rocky Mountains of Colorado in 1978. Coors Light's refreshing. It's crisp. It's only 102 calories. That's why it is Coors Light. In my hand when I need a moment to chill. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
We'll get our prize picks next. It's Wilde and Tausch. The Bucks taking on the Indiana Pacers at whatever they call Conseco Fieldhouse now. What time are we tipping that off across ESPN Madison, ESPN Beaver Dam, and 620 WTMJ, Jesse?
5:30 tonight. This has been the series of weird tip times. 5:30 is the tip tonight in Indy.
Pre-game with Justin Garcia starting at?
5 o'clock.
Good thing I'm appearing on, unless I'm not, and I haven't been told, because that seems to be the theme of the day. Good thing I'm scheduled to appear on Rutledge and Hamilton at 4:30.
Yeah. Good thing.
They do have a show today, right?
They do, yes.
Okay. Just checking. Let's get to our prize picks for the night.
Let's do it. Prize picks of the night for Bucks Pacers Game 6. We did it before Game 5. Let's do it again, and let's run it back with Chris Middleton, Tausch. More or less than 26.5 points for cash money Middleton. He did it in games 3 and 5 of the series. Will he do it again tonight?
Quick question for you. Has Giannis's or Dame's projections been put out on Prize Picks yet?
They have not.
Oh, boy. I
think you have to make these picks assuming they're not playing.
Yes.
Yeah, no, that's what I understand. And that's why I think I'm going to go less for a couple of reasons. Cash money has emptied the tank. I am amazed that he keeps having enough gas in there to keep getting to the destination. Now, in the long drive to Indy, going to run more gas out of that car. And then the fact that if for some reason Giannis or Dame play, all of a sudden that gives me that out too. So I'm kind of hedging here a little bit, but I think I'm going less.
Wow.
He should have his number retired. He's underappreciated, but I'm going less on him.
Yeah, all things can be true.
All right. I'm going more. I want them to win tonight. I want him to play well and continue. You know, our buddy Justin Garcia, Bucks talk, Bucks pregame, Bucks shots, all the stuff he does. He has always been carrying the torch for Chris Middleton and how underappreciated he is. He converted me a long time ago to that, and then he obviously had the huge moments in their championship run. I hope he keeps it up. I love the fact that people are, those that underestimated him have woken up about him. This is also why I would suck at Prize Picks, because I would totally make this pick on what I want to see happen and not divorce myself from what I want to happen and what may happen. So I'm going more.
Well, that can also be the fun of Prize Picks, though, is you pick what you want to see happen, and then you're cheering not only for that, but you also, you know, win a little something if that ends up coming to fruition.
Yeah. Got some things going on, yeah.
That's what I'm going to do. Bobby Portis, Bobby, more or less than 30.5 points, rebounds, assists. All three of them, does he get to 30.5? Did it last game, did not in the previous four. Obviously, he was ejected after just a few minutes in game 4. Tausch, what do you think?
Yeah, the question I have is how is he going to control his emotions? Because he used all of the positive mojo at Pfizer. He didn't the last time. So is he going to try and go in more tranquil and then crank it up? Or is he going to let his emotions flow? And you know Indiana's going to pick at him. That's the big question. I think he learns lessons. And he's a good rebounder. I think he needs to be a focal part of what we're doing. And if the Bucks have any chance, he's going to have to go more tonight, especially if Giannis doesn't play.
We're back to Yanni?
Yeah, I said more. Well, you go more or less, Jason. I said more.
I think you said if they're going to have any chance, he's going to have to go more. I think is what you said.
Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
That's what I've heard.
Literally said more. I don't know if I could be more clear. I guess I was less clear, but I should be more clear.
I'm going to go more because I want them to win. Next.
All right. How about Brooke Lopez? I'm guessing Jason's going to go more on more or less than 1.5 3-point shots made. 1.5 3-point shots made. He's done it in 2 of 4 games, but in the ones that he didn't, he made 0 3-point shots.
That's less than 1.5.
Yeah, it's funny because Brolo, again, with Giannis, he's a spread out guy.
Why are we
doing this?
Stay in
the court. What do you mean?
You know exactly what I mean.
I love saying Giannis.
The Swedish
musician, Giannis. Plays,
Yanni.
Everything cashes. You have to have him. You put Brooke out there so he sucks the big defender out of the lane. It's why Brooke has been such an effective buck with Giannis. Giannis probably, if he ain't playing, Jason hasn't given us his inside Bucks report yet. We're waiting on Woj and Shamis to tell us. But if he's not playing, Brooks is a low post guy. He has scored in droves in the paint. Old school Brook. The greatest Brooklyn net scorer of all time, Brook. So I have to go less. But then again, the same thing as when I did with Cash Money. If Yanni's plays, that looks like a low number because he's going to shoot a bunch of three balls. So I'm going to change my tune as I'm speaking. And no, I'm not. I'm staying less because I don't think Yanni's is playing.
Oh, so,
I couldn't be more clear.
Well, on this one, I went through my own head.
That was a roller coaster.
Bobby Portis, I could not have been more clear.
Quick correction of me. Yanni, the musician, is in fact Greek, and his actual first name spelled the exact same way as Giannis. But he goes by Yanni, which Giannis does not go by Yanni, except for apparently when Tausch is talking to him. I'm going to go more. By the way, have we covered, again, how great it is that Marcus Johnson calls Andrew Nembhard Nimrod? I'm a big fan of that. I was just thinking about that when Tausch was talking about the emotions that Bobby has to control.
And look at who's last up in our prize picks of the night, Andrew Nembhard. Tausch's favorite Indiana Pacer. Andrew Nembhard, more or less than 1.5 three-point made shots, just like Brolo. Nembhard did it in each of the Pacers' home games in games 3 and 4.
Couldn't be more clear about the pronunciation of his name.
So what I always get a kick out of is these NBA greats, the Barclays and the guys that commentate a bunch on it, will always tell you the stars show up on the road and at home, and the role players or the younger players are more comfortable at home and they play better at home, and that's another big reason why home court is such a big deal. Nembhard, he's one of these guys. I think he is going to pop. He's kind of been a Bucks beater. 2 3-pointers in today's NBA is nothing. It's just nothing. So I'm going more.
Couldn't be more clear. What is his track record? He's done it 3 of the last 4 games.
He's done it in the home games in the series in Indiana, which tonight is in Indiana.
Yeah, I'm going more too, but I still want to see the Bucks win despite Nembhard putting in more than 2 3-pointers. All right, that is our prize picks for the night presented, Tausch. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy by Prize Picks.
Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app. More than 5 million members. It is fun. It's exciting to get in on the action with your favorite sports and players. And it is, Jason just mentioned, and as I was doing all of my prize picks, it's pretty dang simple. Pick more or less on 2 or more player stats for a shot to win up to 100 times your cash. And you know what? It just makes it fun. Go to a Brewers game. First inning is something. You can have hits. It's got everything you could look for. And with the basketball and hockey playoffs rolling, just makes it that much more fun. Star players mean even more on Prize Picks. So you keep an eye out for those starred players on the board. And you could receive a 10% payout boost if they're in your winning lineup. They also have the Goblins and the Ghouls and all the other fun stuff. It is a fun adventure. Just download the app today. Use that code WI for a first deposit match up to $100. That's code WI on the Prize Picks app or go to prizepicks.com. Again, for the first deposit match, use the promo code WI. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
It's almost name time. Name time. Eric, name time. But before that, we got to play trivia.
That was pretty good.
Thank you. I appreciate that. You didn't think so. You're lying now. You're just...
No, I did. I don't have the fake laugh track like Jesse does.
I wish we would have thought of that all season. We could have done name time whenever we wanted to have him on.
But first, it's trivia time. Jesse, what's today's category and what caller would you like?
Picking up the Pacers is today's category. Questions about the illustrious history of the Indiana basketball Pacers.
Nice. All right, caller... Six. It's game 6. It's going to have to be Bucks in 7 if they're going to win the series. But 6. Game 6. 844-CALLER-6. 844-770-3776. 844-770-3776. Caller 6 for trivia next. It's Wilde and Tausch. It's time for trivia. I want to get to Eric Names somewhat timely. But look, man, I love you like my cantankerous brother. You give me a hard time. It's part of the dynamic of this show. I brag about how I was given the choice of anyone to do a show with, and I picked you. But, dude, come on, man. You're sending me a Woj bomb. Yeah. Here's what Woj just reported.
Why does a Woj bomb bother you?
Because listen to what this says, and you tell me how it's different than what I said about Game 5, according to my source.
I'll listen to you. Okay.
If we weren't on video publicly, you'd be getting a finger gesture
now,
right
this
now.
This is some breaking news.
Milwaukee's Giannis Antetokounmpo, calf, and Damian Lillard, Achilles, are both working to try and make a return versus Indiana for Game 6 tonight. But it's still it's still unclear if either will be able, sources tell ESPN. Bucks are trailing 3-2 in the series. Tell me how that's different than what I said about Game 5.
You said your person on the ground said he thinks he's
going
to play.
Giannis wants to play.
No, you said he thinks he's going to play. Jesse?
You're a revisionist historian.
Did our ears perk up? My ears didn't perk up when Woj put that bomb up. My ears perked up when Jason Wilde's source told him, said, he thinks he's going to play.
Oh, well, that's because it's more unique when it's from JW, not AW.
Let's get to trivia. Forget you guys.
I forgot you're scared of Jason. That's my bad.
Why does it... When he agrees with me, it's always because he's scared of me. Let's play trivia.
He didn't agree. He very melodramatically just wanted to move on, is what he did.
It does sound fairly similar to what Jason said the other day.
See? Okay. Keep Jason happy. Yep. Okay, Jason. Whatever. Yeah, whatever Jason said. Yep.
Jason says, let's play trivia. Let's welcome in a first-time contestant. Let's welcome in Sam in Kenosha. Sam, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you guys?
I am great. Thank you for asking, even though people are irritating me. The category is picking up the Pacers. Mark Tauscher has question number one.
Sam, can we get this done if Giannis and Dame don't play tonight?
That is not question one.
No, it's not. I'm interested.
There's a small chance.
Okay. So you have hope. You have hope. All right. What is the current name of the place that they're playing tonight in Indiana? Is it the Gainbridge Fieldhouse, Conseco Fieldhouse, or Paceland? Yeah, not bad.
That was pretty good.
I'll go with A.
Yeah. If you've been listening to the show, I did mention that it used to be Conseco, and I didn't know what it was, so I learned something new. It is indeed Gainbridge Fieldhouse in Indianapolis.
Not the easiest first question for a first-time contestant.
If you know that it changed names and you know it's not Paceland, you probably get
it. I think we should make Paceland
a thing.
Great job,
Jesse. Yeah, that's a great question.
Paceland is catchy.
You know what's really fun is Legoland. Yeah, it was good. Sam, don't sell yourself short. You figured it out. You got it right. You deserve credit. Here's question two. In which of these statistical categories does my guy Reggie Miller, who blocked me on Twitter and who Tausch also thinks sucks on the call of games, not rank number one in Pacers history? Of these three categories, which category is he not number one in Pacers history? Minutes played, three-point field goals, or total rebounds?
I'll go with the rebounds.
Yeah.
Good work. Process of elimination again. Well done.
It has to be one of the Davis boys, right? Or Detlef Schrempf. Who is the leading rebounder in Pacers history?
I forgot. I'll look it up while we do this next question.
Sure. Good stuff. All right, last one. In which of these years did the Indiana Pacers make their one and only finals appearance in the NBA Finals? 94, 2000, or 2004?
94.
Mel Daniels.
Is 94...
2000, I think they played the Lakers, right? In 2000?
That is correct.
The Lakers beat them?
Yep. Yeah. Jermaine O'Neal versus Shaquille O'Neal. I remember it well.
But Shaq Reggie Miller to Spike Lee, 94?
Could have been.
I believe that. Yeah, that was that year because that was also the OJ deal.
Yeah. So
OJ deal was 94.
I would not have gotten 2000 either. So Sam, I am happy to report you still get three of the possible four entries because you got two out of three right. We appreciate you playing. We appreciate your loyalty to the show, and not a bad debut. I hope you play again, buddy. Thanks.
Alrighty, thank you. Bye. Love you guys.
And I love you guys.
Love you guys.
Throw him an entry.
All right, that is Will Diatoush trivia. Eric, name of The Athletic live from Gainbridge Fieldhouse, or at least Indianapolis proper, scheduled to appear next to kick off the 11 o'clock hour. It's Wilde and Tausch.